Throughout the world, Catholics and non-Catholics are mourning the death yesterday of Pope John Paul II. The 84-year-old pontiff died in his apartment at the Vatican as tens of thousands of pilgrims stood vigil in St. Peter's Square below. The announcement of his death was made in an email message from a Vatican spokesman to journalists, and the word spread by the ringing of church bells throughout Rome, around the world, and in Poland in the Pope's hometown of Wadowice. Following the Pope's death and the end of his 26-year reign, world leaders praised his life, from his childhood in Poland to his role in helping to bring down communism to his moral leadership as pontiff since 1978. In Washington, President Bush spoke of the Pope.
The Catholic Church has lost its shepherd. The world has lost a champion of human freedom. And a good and faithful servant of God has been called home.
Following a 9-day official mourning period, 117 cardinals from around the world will convene in the Sistine Chapel to select a new pope for the first time in more than 26 years, marking John Paul's papacy as the third longest in church history. Some believe that the cardinals will want to choose an older man who will not dominate the church for decades. Others believe that John Paul II, who was 58 when he was elected, demonstrated what a younger pope can accomplish. John Allen is a longtime Vatican watcher and correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter covering the Vatican. He joins us from Rome. Welcome, John.
Good morning.
The church is large and diverse. There are more than 700 million Catholics around the world. What are the major issues confronting the church as the College of Cardinals turns to choosing a new pope?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Catholic Church is enormously complex, and of course, what the most important issues facing it are will depend on who's answering that question. But I think probably the most interesting thing to talk about at this point is what do the cardinals believe? That is, that body of 117 men who somewhere between 14 and 19 days from now will be casting ballots to elect John Paul's successor. And I think based on my conversations with them, I've interviewed more than half of them over the years, I would say that there are three issues that kind of loom largest in their minds. The first would be governance of the Catholic Church, that is, the kind of internal business of making sure that the church runs as it should. There's a certain sense that that has perhaps been neglected somewhat in light of John Paul II's own very strong desire to focus outward on dialogue with other religions and other faiths and so on. Secondly, I would say the issue of secularity and how to deal with this secularized, in some ways, post-religious culture that we have in the West, above all, of course, in Europe. Finally would be Islam and the question of how the Catholic Church ought to manage its relationship with global Islam. There's a sense that these two religions, both of which claim more than 1 billion followers, the way in which they are able to relate to one another will have a great deal to do with the kind of world we live in.
You mentioned Europe. Particularly Italy has been the seat of the church, but the modern church has a following very far from Rome. How do traditional influences and contemporary forces coexist in the church today, and how might they compete for prominence in choosing a pope?
Well, any organization, religious or otherwise, with more than a billion adherents, there's going to be a healthy tension, and it's sometimes a very keen tension, between the local level and the universal level. At the local level, the Catholic Church around the world is extraordinarily diverse. The Catholic Church in Bangkok or in Beijing or Buenos Aires looks a lot different than the Catholic Church in Boston. Trying to hold all that in some kind of unity is, of course, the job of the Pope. And so certainly one of the questions the cardinals will be asking themselves is, what man among us is not merely a product of his own culture and his own circumstances, but has a kind of universal appeal? Very practically, that would mean someone who speaks many languages and knows something of the world. At a more spiritual level, it would be somebody who has an open heart and an open mind and can somehow connect with people very different from himself.
You mentioned Islam as one of the top issues. In some regions, especially Africa, evangelical Christians and Islamists have made inroads into the Catholic Church's influence. Will confronting those sorts of challenges take a forefront in deliberations over a new pope?
Yes, although we should hasten to add that unlike secular politics, I think that issues such as the ones we're discussing now are a second-order exercise for the cardinals. I mean, at top of the list of what they're looking for in a pope, of course, is a profoundly holy man. Then, you know, intangible calculations, things like charisma, what age should the pope be, what background should he have. And only then, once they've sort of narrowed the field, so to speak, do a particular person's stance on particular issues come into play. But certainly the inroads being made by evangelical movements, I would suggest, above all in Latin America, will be one of the things that cardinals are talking about and thinking about when they try to choose a new pope.
How does the church view its role in Latin America?
Well, Latin America, of course, would be seen as a traditional stronghold of Roman Catholicism. And traditionally, cultures in Latin America are almost entirely homogeneously Catholic. Moreover, almost half of the Catholics in the world today live in Latin America. And there's a tremendous energy, a tremendous dynamism about Christianity in Latin America. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are a number of countries in Latin America which were once almost entirely Catholic that have seen significant erosions at the expense of the so-called sects, that is, very missionary, evangelical, and charismatic movements, places like Guatemala, Peru, south of Mexico, and on and on. And so, on the one hand, pride in what the Church has accomplished in Latin America, at the same time, concern about the future, I would suggest, will be part of the electoral dynamics, so to speak, leading into the conclave.
And in North America, dealing with Catholics in the U.S. has been very difficult for the Pope. Questions about the role of women, the role of the laity, the celibacy of priests, and, of course, the sex abuse scandal have all been very contentious. How heavily will those issues weigh on the next pope?
Well, obviously, all of the issues you just ticked off are not uniquely American phenomena. Declining vocations, questions about the role of women and the role of lady and so forth, course through the church everywhere. And so to that extent, they certainly will be on cardinals' minds. But I would not think that specifically American concerns will loom terribly large, although it is true that America has 11 voting-age cardinals, which is the second largest national group after the Italians. I think probably a more important statistic is that virtually almost half of the 117 cardinals eligible to vote are European. And those who are not, many of them are men who have spent significant chunks of time in Europe, above all Rome, studying or working, which means that if you want to pick a particular piece of geography whose issues will loom largest, I would suggest it's probably Europe.
Of those 117 cardinals, all but three were named by John Paul. Does that mean that his teachings and beliefs will continue to be dominant in the church in coming years?
Well, I mean, his teachings and beliefs are to some extent the teachings and beliefs of the Catholic Church, and so of course they will continue to loom large in the presentation of anyone who's elected pope. But if you mean, will the next pope be a sort of carbon copy of this one? History suggests to us it simply doesn't work that way. Colleges of cardinals appointed entirely by one pope tend to elect different kinds of men as that pope's successor, and this is because, to some extent, they're looking to clean up the unfinished business and to correct what they would perceive as the weaknesses of the pontificate that has just ended. Historians call that the pendulum dynamic. Italians, as they always do, have a better phrase for it. They say, you always follow a fat pope with a thin one.
John Allen covers the Vatican for the National Catholic Reporter. He spoke to us from Rome. Thank you, John.
It was a pleasure.